Somebody said something about being forgetful this morning. Does anybody else have any trouble with that? Come on, let's see your hands. Come on, how many of you? Wow. About half of the congregation, and the other half just didn't raise your hand. Of course, you younger people, you don't have those troubles. This old 90-year-old man came in one evening and threw his golf clubs in the middle of the floor and told his wife, "I'm not going to go play golf anymore." Well, she said, "Why?" He said, "Well," he said, "when I hit that ball," he says, "I just can't see it. And I lose it. I don't know where it went." She said, "Well, why don't you just take my brother with you? He's got good eyesight. Just take him with you." But he said, "Well, he's 102. But she said, "Well, but he can see good. And he can watch that ball for you." So the next day, he took him and he said, "Well, we're going to try this." And so he teed the ball up and hit it. And he looked over to his brother-in-law and he said, "Did you see where that ball went?" And he said, "I sure did." He said, "Well, where did it go?" And he said, "I can't remember." So we all have a little memory lapse every once in a while. And we all have our shortcomings. But you know, we're human, aren't we? We're human. Sometimes when I get desperate with the Lord and I pray, "Lord, what would you have me speak about?" then sometimes I come up with two of them. "Did you bring your lunch today?" Yeah, if I preach them both. And I think Janae's probably heard both of them. But you have your Bibles this morning, Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to let you stay seated. We'll be fine. Oh, by the way, we enjoyed a good evening last evening at Petersburg at the Valentine banquet. We had a good meal and some good fellowship with those that were there. I suppose most of you, if not all of you, know what this week is, right? What Thursday's going to be? Does everybody know? All you fellows know what Thursday is? It's not the day after prayer meeting. It's Valentine's Day, right? It's one of those worldly holiday things. That's all right. But a lot of other things you do is made up from this world, you know. But anyway, you know what you're supposed to do. Do you fellas all know where the Aldi's is? Do you have an Aldi's around somewhere? $2.99 for 6 roses. You can get 12 roses for about a little less than $6, $6.98 or $5.98. So you have no excuse. And if you don't have that much money, go to your local grocery and get a stalk of celery and put a ribbon around it. It works. Now, guys, just because you don't expect anything for Valentine's Day doesn't mean your wife isn't expecting a little something. Maybe a kiss on the cheek. Shake hands with her. Do something that has a little love in it, okay? And she'll tell you, "I don't care, don't worry about it." But I want to tell you something. She might say that, but somewhere down in her heart, she'd be thrilled if you'd show her just a little bit of love in some measure, okay? Now, don't forget that. Your pastor might preach on love tonight, but I didn't have one with me. But don't forget it now. It's very important. The older we get sometimes, we think love slips away from us, but it doesn't, you know. You young people now, it's good to see all these young people here. You know, when I met my wife, I was 17. I got married when I was 18. I was only 18 a week. You know, I loved her so much I could just eat her up, you know. You know? But now it's been 46 years and sometimes I wished I had her. So anyway, a little token of your love doesn't hurt anything, and it'll cover a multitude of your failures. Okay? And we all, as guys, fail once in a while, and we have to have something to pick us up. Okay. I see that. I got to see that you brushed your teeth this morning. They all look white. All right. Okay. All right. Isaiah chapter 6. To get down to a little more serious note here this morning. Isaiah chapter 6 talks about Isaiah's encounter with the Lord. I trust that you're here this morning and you have met the Lord. In some measure, I trust that you have felt His presence. I trust that you have been a recipient of His saving grace and hopefully His sanctifying power. Because if you have, then you're a recipient of His keeping power from day to day. He can keep you and help you in the way that you take. But Isaiah had a vision. He was ushered into the presence of the Lord. What an awesome place to be in the presence of the Lord Himself. Well, someday, if you hold true and mind God and be what God wants you to be and walk in all the light that the Lord gives you, someday we'll be ushered into the presence of a holy God. That's going to be quite a day. That's the hope of the church. That's really what we live for. Let's look at this for just a moment. In the year that King Uzziah died, verse 1, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. And twain covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. What a vision. What an encounter that Isaiah had with the Lord. I could be safe in saying, I believe, that after that he was never the same. There's something about being ushered in the presence of the Lord that makes a change in an individual. If you've ever met Jesus Christ, it's changed your life. If you say, I'm a Christian and have never had a change in your life from the old sinful ways that you once partook of, then I'm here to say that you really haven't met Jesus. Because it's an impossibility, we as humans, to meet one that is so divine as he and not be changed. It's an impossibility. We will be changed. First of all, this morning I'm going to try to hurry. But what he saw. You know, the thought came to me just this morning, and I don't know that I've really thought this in reference to this scripture. But you know, I think the closer to the Lord that we get, the more we realize how human we are. Because when we get into the presence, of the one that is holy and the one that is perfect, it seemingly shows up our flaws. And we suddenly realize that we're human. Could I just pause here to tell you that when we meet God and when the Lord saves us and takes us out of the sin business and changes our life, it doesn't take away our human part of us. We're still human. And in saying that, I'd like for you to understand that when we operate as a human, there are times that we fail. Now, I don't say we sin. I don't believe in a sinning religion. I don't believe in a sinning experience. But I do think that being human, sometimes we fail. That's why we have a reverse gear to back up to correct what we've done wrong. Straighten it out and keep going. Keep going. And I thought as I was looking at this morning, I thought how human I am. You know, and I know where I've come from. But you know, when we get into the presence of the Lord, it makes all the difference in the world. Have you ever been any place when you were in the presence of somebody that you felt that was greater than you, how you felt? You know, you're country folk. You live in the country. You think you live in the country. You should see where I was born and raised. At least you do have a little town here close by. We lived way out in the sticks, down between two valleys. I got the family in a vehicle one day, all the grandkids, took them down to that place. And when you take me out of that setting and put me in a different setting, then I realize where I came from and really what I am. And been too many years ago that they called me and my niece was graduating from nursing school. And it was only because she was my niece and she was part of that graduating class that they called me to a college to give the invocation. Here's a boy out of the hills of Kentucky that don't know where to put the periods, or the commas or the question marks. Don't really know how to put a sentence together to get up in front of all those professors to pray. But being from Kentucky and not being very smart, I didn't have any better sense than to go. And lo and behold, I found myself sitting on the platform of that commencement exercise. And the thought came to my mind, what in the world am I doing here? It kind of showed up my impurities, the flaws that I have. And other times when Jeremy graduated from God's Bible School, and it was only because I was the dad of a graduating senior that I was called to do the same thing again. And I was standing up there watching the procession, and I thought, what in the world am I doing here? But there I was. There I was in the midst of it all. Civil War Roundtable there in Madison, where we live, got together a dedication of some monuments that they had erected for some Civil War heroes. There were some people from the state, some representatives that came down to be in that presentation. What'd they do? They called me. We'd like for you to come and give the invocation, the prayer. Invoking the presence of God in the midst of the assemblage. There I was, sitting in the midst of all those dignitaries, the mayor, Al Huntington, sitting over here. State representative, and a little guy from the hills of Kentucky. Lord, what am I doing here? You ever been there? You ever been in that place? You know how you felt? And in saying that this morning, we must in some measure know how Isaiah felt. We really can't know, because we're not talking about another human. We're talking about being in the presence of God Himself. I'm sure Isaiah might have looked up and in his heart said, Lord, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? But this is what Isaiah saw. First of all, in verses 1 through 4, if you look at it there, the first thing that he saw was God in His holiness. He said, I saw Him high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. His presence, His holiness filled the temple. This was God's inward part. It's what really God is inside. His holiness, His purity, His love. For the Word tells us God is love. And Isaiah, with his human eyes, was ushered in the presence of a God, of the God of holiness. His inward part. He got into the inner part of the Lord. Also, in the midst of those four verses, we find that not only did Isaiah see his inward part, but he also saw God's outward part. Because in the fourth verse there, and the outward part being his power. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. For the outward part of God is his power. Isaiah got to see it. He got to experience it. Not in part, but the whole. We see the effects of the power of God, but we really, I don't believe, ever saw the true power of God. We see with our eyes what the power of God can do, but have we actually saw the power of God? I don't think so. Unless we're ushered into the presence of God by some miracle of God, our human bodies would not be able to stand the power and the holiness of God. But Isaiah said that he was taken up in a vision and he was there in the midst of the throne of God. So what he saw was God's holiness and God's power. And in verse 5, the second thing that I see here is what he said. Unlike me, he didn't say, well, what am I doing here? But what did he say? He said, woe is me. Why? Because I'm undone. When I'm measured by the power and the holiness of God, I find myself very much human and very much undone. And I want to tell you something. There's no ability that you can have. You cannot be intelligent enough or anything else to find yourself worthy to stand in the presence of God. He said, woe is me. Woe is me, I am undone. And what he felt was an appeal unto his conscience. I am very much conscious of the fact that I am human when I stand in the presence and measure myself by the presence of God. You know, we can experience that in a measure at times. What about those times when you go to prayer? I'm talking about those exceptional times. Sometimes when we go to prayer, it's a real battle, isn't it? To get down and pray, or to sit and pray, or whatever manner or position you feel best that you pray. Sometimes it's a real battle to try to give our petitions and bring our problems and things that we need an answer for into the presence of God. Sometimes it's a real battle to do that. But we do it because we know that it's necessary to keep our experience. But I'm talking about those times when you get on your knees or when you take your favorite place in prayer and immediately the presence of God comes and you just can't say anything. You ever have those times? You know, it doesn't happen every time you pray. If it does, you're a fortunate person. But once in a while it does. And the presence of God comes and saturates our hearts and our minds. and appeals to our conscience. What a wonderful thing it is to draw oneself away into the presence of God. Not only did him being there appeal to his conscience, but it brought conviction of the soul. I'm undone. I'm undone. And you know, sometimes we as humans, maybe we feel like that we need to take the route of least resistance, and sometimes we measure ourselves by someone else. But you know, that's not a true measurement. Don't ever measure your spirituality by how spiritual someone else is. If you really want to know how spiritual you are, measure yourself by God's holiness and God's power. That's why it takes all that's within me to keep up in these days. We'll not coast into heaven. If we make it to heaven, it'll be under a power that God gives us to make it into the city. It'll be a fight. It'll be a struggle. It'll be a battle. But it'll be one that we'll be well able to win through the grace of God that helps us from day to day. And then it brought about not only a conviction, but a confession. I'm a man of unclean lips. Did you know that what comes out of your lips is pretty much what you are? The character that you possess is what you really are. And it flows from us. You might think better of yourself than you really are, or you may think less of yourself than you really are, but what we really find ourselves to be is what proceeds out of us in our everyday lives. Did you know that we as individuals have a responsibility to be the same every day? Well, no, not in some respect, but spiritually. Spiritually, our neighbor and those that we associate with, those that we work with, need to find us faithful every day that we live. No, we won't always feel like it, but we'll always be on the job trying to do our best to do what's right at all times. But Isaiah found himself here, and he said, I am a man of unclean lips. What he felt, verses 6 and 7. You see in verse 6, he said, And flew one of the servants unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off with the thongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That's what he felt. And after that, Isaiah's lips were never the same. Because his encounter with God did something for him. It changed his heart, it changed his mind, it changed his lips, and he became a changed individual. Didn't take away his being human, like I say, but he was changed. And then number four, what he heard. There was a reason that Isaiah was ushered into the presence of the Lord. What was that reason? God had something for him to do. Could I pause here for just a moment and insert this thought? You know, we're not born into the kingdom of God through salvation just to be here. We all have something to do. And I don't say you have to go out and look for it. I don't say you have to go out and try to determine what it is. God is faithful to our hearts. God is faithful to our minds. God is faithful to lead us. He is faithful to tell us, but we have a responsibility to listen and to follow. Oh, how patient God is. The Lord's patient with us. And the songwriter said, he leads his dear children along. Well, some through the waters and some through the floods. Some through the fires, but all through the blood. Some through great trials. But he is faithful to do that for us. And he'll save you to make you what you need to be. And in verse 4, or number 4 in verse 8, he said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah, who am I going to send? Who's going to go? Who's going to go tell the people? There is someone out there that, listen to me, nobody else in this world is ever going to have the opportunity that you're going to be a witness to. What an awesome responsibility that is. Somewhere in your travels through this life, somewhere on the job, somewhere where you worship, somewhere where you have your spare time, some of the things that you might do for recreation, someplace along the way in your travel, somewhere you'll come in contact with somebody that you'll be the only one that will be available to them. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much to plant a seed in the minds of those that we come in contact with that would germinate and sprout and bring forth thoughts of God that would change people's lives. You know, it'll be a wonderful thing when we get to heaven to know that there's someone there because of us. No, it's not because of who we are or what we've done. It's because we've allowed God to use us and to help us. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? In closing this morning, the last thought that I have is what Isaiah did. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. The greatest things, especially you young people, that you can do give your heart and life to the Lord and say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. And wait a minute. You don't have to beat your chest and pull your hair and wring your hands and scream at the top of your voice to try to find out what God wants you to do in life. You don't have to do that. You don't have to break down doors. You don't have to bust through walls. You don't have to do all those things to know what God wants you to be and what God wants you to do. All you have to do is to be there. And He may want you to sit in a pew and be the best layman that you can be. You know, there isn't any greater asset to a church than a good layman. And you'll say, preacher, well, that's not very much. Oh, yes, it is. It absolutely is. For a good layman will be at church when they need to be, and they'll give when they need to, and they'll pray when prayer is needed, and they do the things to keep the church going, keep the doors open, and make a place where souls can come in out of the storms of life and find God. Did you know it's the layman that keeps the presence of God in the midst? Well, you say, I thought you had to be a preacher. No. You don't have to knock doors down to be a preacher. Or to be a missionary. Some of you young ladies, God may call you to be a homemaker. To be a Christian wife. And to raise those children. And bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Did Suzanne Wesley know what was wrapped up in those children that she nurtured along? Absolutely not. But she was in the hands of God. Here am I. Use me. Here am I. Send me. Sometimes we get in a hurry. I felt like at the age of 17, I was in a hurry to get married. My mama thought different. You're too young. I want a wife and some kids at 17. Sometimes I think we get in a hurry. It worked out all right, but you know how come it did? We both found the Lord. That was our only salvation. Don't get in a hurry when it comes to trying to find out what God wants you to do and what He wants you to be. You know, about everything we know of starts out with an old, ugly clump. That's a Kentucky word, clump. My wife don't know what's a clump of mud, a clump of clay. When the master takes that clay and puts it on that spindle and he begins to put a little moisture to it and begins to form it, he begins to take that old lump of mud that was so ugly and so useless and begins to form it into something that's smooth and beautiful and useful. That little thing started out as in a melting pot somewhere. Liquid that would run all over the place, and if you used it in that form, it'd just run off of this desk and onto the floor. But somebody had foresight enough to form it into something that was useful. A few strings, a couple of wheels, and a nice piano. Don't get in a hurry when it comes to what God wants you to do. The main thing is, Put yourself in position where God can have you. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. And one of the worst things in the world that you can do is begin to analyze yourself and say, I can't do it. If the Lord thought you couldn't do it, He'd never call you to do what He's asked you to do. I might have mentioned this here when I was just a young fella. I suppose my ministry started when I was 27, really. 26, 27, somewhere in that area. And my sister-in-law gave me this little plaque, sent it to my wife and I. And I have, in my mind's eye, went back to that little plaque with a saying on it many, many times. It said something like this: the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'm available. I wonder this morning as I close, are you available to God? He may never usher you in to a place where He took Isaiah, but He will put you in a place where you'll know what He wants you to do. And by the help and the grace of God, you can do it. Praise the Lord. God bless you today. Could God have you and use you today? Praise the Lord. All right, Brother Ziegler, I'm done. You can dismiss him if you'd like.